joining me on this edition, making her third appearance, and this time talking about Dove, the brand new record from her re-emergent and re-energised Belly. I'm absolutely delighted to be able to say, Tanya Donnelly, welcome once again to the Mouthcast.
Thanks for having me.
Before we talk, let's listen to something from Dove. Let's go for the really rather beautiful Human Child.
www.themouthmagazine.com.
Tight to our chest, sip it on like a dress. We're oh so faithfully possessed. We let ourselves be owned by things long gone. Old photographs, old songs wrap us in ghosts. Oh human child, your face to the wind, your back to the sun. Human child, you're digging up bones and miss all the fun. I'm not here to save you, I'm just trying to get you outside. Get yourself out of your way and pull your head out of the shade. A bird takes off to above, we follow with our eyes, but never grab hold, never own it. That's as it should be, as it was and ever will be. So let's stop mourning, stop your sobbing. Oh human child, your face to the wind, your back to the sun. Digging up bones and miss all the fun. Some trick of the light pulls me upright, makes me laugh out loud into the emptiness. Some pull on the hair, somebody there makes me stare wide-eyed into the emptiness. Oh human child, your face to win, sun. Oh human child, you're digging up. Oh,
Tanya, there's this great line in the song Human Child: nothing ever dies, but we've still got to let it go. I think really that's a line that only someone in their 40s or 50s could write, or someone in their 40s and 50s might truly appreciate. Using that line as a sort of jumping off point to talk about Belly, I'd guess you've all come to terms with having been through the machine 20 years ago.
Yeah. I feel like in some ways that song is a letter to me, a letter to us. It's very much about just the good health practice of detachment. And I don't mean that in any sort of cold way. I mean that if you collect and collect and own, it just weighs you down to a point where you have gauze over your eyes. You're just covered and you can't be present and you can't move forward. And losing your forward motion is just, I think, something that we do without even really realizing that we've stuck ourselves into a time or into a pattern. And that's something that you really just let, there are things that you just have to let go of, and to learn that when you let go of something, it's not a surgery, it's a liberation. And that thing will always be part of you, but you're not stuck to it. It's not stuck to your back anymore.
As you say, that song is a bit of a letter to yourself and to the band.
And others.
Yeah.
So were myself and others.
Okay, so have there been things stuck to your back that have perhaps slowed down your forward motion?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the things that continue to recur and you're ashamed of the fact that you can't stop thinking about it or that you can't stop being immobilized by it. And that requires work, and it also requires very stark honesty with yourself about what you're doing to yourself.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy as a human being to ascribe blame, and we all do it. And that's something that I work really hard on, and I think it's an important, it's one of the most important, it's some of the most important work of being human, in my opinion.
Yeah. Ascribing blame, but also the other side of that coin, or the same side of the coin actually, is accepting responsibility.
Right. Yeah. And just really, really facing yourself in a very real and painful way, just so that you can lift yourself back up and out of the dirt. Your own dirt.
Yeah. Well, for your Swan Song series, those lovely EPs a few years back, you wrote with various collaborators, including Gail, of course, and I think Tom. So I'm presuming that's where the initial spark for a Belly reunion took hold.
Yeah, it is. There have been times, little episodes in the past 20 years when we would separately sort of say, hey, what do you think? Could we ever do it? You know, what do we have the time? Is it logistically pragmatic? Like, you know, could we do this? But the Swan Song series and writing with Tom and then with Gail and her partner, both of those situations really did sort of open up the gate. And then Chris got in touch with us all and just said, hey, since you guys are writing together and doing stuff together, let's do a reunion tour. And that was the beginning. The tour came first, and then we decided to write some songs so that it didn't feel like a nostalgia project, you know?
Yeah.
So we wrote a handful of songs just to throw into the mix to make it feel new for us.
That tour was in 2016, and there were a couple of new songs in the set at the time. I got the feeling, actually, that you maybe were as surprised as anyone else that new music was part of the deal.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly the case. That was the big sort of, that was the happy surprise at the end of it, is that we had, at that point, five songs that we were really psyched about. And so Tom sent an email around after that tour and basically said, let's just make an album. Let's just keep going. Instead of like, because the plan was like a digital EP that we would just put up on Bandcamp originally. And then Tom just sort of inspired, he was the spark to move this into a more physical direction, something you could hold, you know, especially because we have these amazing in-house artists, Christopher Gorman and Gail Greenwood and, you know, her partner, Chill Mott. And they just, art has always been so, the physical piece has always been so much a part of what we do. And so that was something we were really thinking about, like, I want to hold this. I actually want to hold this in my hand. So that's where it turned into an album.
Yeah. I saw you at one of the gigs on that 2016 tour, and the atmosphere was absolutely fantastic. It was really celebratory, and there was a huge amount of goodwill from the audience to the band, but also from the band to the audience. It wouldn't surprise me if I heard you say that was the best tour Belly had done.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely the best tour we've ever done. I get super hippy-dippy about that tour, but it was just a love fest.
Yeah.
Going both ways, you know? And there were times when I would actually get teary on stage because I was just so moved by everyone's support. And I really could go on. Like, it was just a very mutually connecting situation. And I think a lot of that does have to do with the fact that it's sort of this balance of something old that everyone's revisiting, but then this sort of new porousness of the internet culture, the fact that you're connecting with people very directly strips away that really unhealthy dynamic of artist and fan that is just right out of the gate. That's not a relationship. That's a dynamic, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that that stigma has really been broken down is just so great. Like, I just feel like the one thing that used to really bum me out back in the day is just the adoration factor, you know, which immediately puts everybody in a weird imbalanced place when you're meeting them or talking to them. That's a little bit less now, you know, a lot less. I have peers that don't feel this way, but I really like the demystification.
Yeah. I think it's important to note, actually, that Gail was not always well during the process. She was suffering from endometrial cancer and, in fact, started chemo just a few weeks before that UK tour, which obviously was massively difficult for her at a personal level and at a professional level, and also for the rest of you too, because the tour was booked. And, well, I know you will have said to her, things can be let go, that she's the most important thing there,
but there
was not a single cancelled or rescheduled show, which is incredible.
Nope.
Testament to Gail, really.
It's unbelievable. And, you know, we sat before every single leg, every single thing. You know, her health was the number one priority.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing we really did is we canceled things like radio and in-store, you know, that we didn't do anything other than shows and really circled tightly around her. But I will tell you, that woman blew my mind. I loved her like a sister before. And I just can't. There are no words for what she did and how she made it work. There just aren't. I mean, she's a freaking superhero. And you know, she wouldn't advocate for everybody doing, you know what I mean? It's not like she's not.
She's not setting herself up as an example, is she?
She's not setting herself up, exactly. That wasn't the point of it at all. And in fact, she only went public after the tour because she didn't want that to be the focus and she wanted to enjoy herself. And it was really just, you know, she came out because of, mainly because of the attacks on ACA and Obamacare here right now, our embattled healthcare system.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was a huge, huge inspiration to write the post that she did on that.
Yeah, it was wonderful to read that, actually, and retrospectively apply it to what was already a fantastic experience for fans of the band. There was much more appreciation for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's been...
I mean, she had a support team in us, but she also just, her medical support team was amazing too, and how they tailored everything for, you know, just really front to back moving, pretty moving. Yeah.
You can come home now, no one left to impress. You finally gave them your all now, all your fishy fair-weather friends. You're miles behind, but I left a light on. Starry-eyed, we stole the night. You raised the dead.
the last time for you. My hands untied from the paving stone. Tear up the contracts we drew. Our hands gave up too much too soon. Starry-eyed, we stole the night, and you raised the dead. Starry-eyed, we bend the tide. You raised all hell, then we slept. And you wanna dance on the third rail.
www.themouthmagazine.com.
There's been a sense of excitement about this new record all the way through the process, I think. You can feel that by reading the band's social media and website and everything.
Right.
But also, I think, perhaps because of what Gail's situation was at the time, there's a real sense of gratitude from the band to be in this position again. Nothing taken for granted this time. I guess the comet's tail, if you like, of that 2016 tour has kind of imbued everything with a really special energy. And I'm not sure this record would have happened without that tour, or perhaps not in quite the same way, at least.
You're right. No, absolutely. And I actually feel like the positivity of that tour informed the tone of this album very directly. And that's something I think we all feel very strongly. Yeah, gratitude, just so much gratitude.
As I mentioned earlier, I've been listening to the record for 3 weeks now, I think, and the song Human Child is a particular highlight for me, and also Starry Eyed, which I think would satisfy those for whom Belly means spaceman or thief, that acoustic side, the old B-side.
Right. It's funny that you said that, because Gail said that the other day. She was like, this is kind of the new Thief. Yeah, we started practicing that one in a slightly more band. It's still very stripped down, but we're all four involved in that one live. So, yeah.
The album has that essential Belly beauty, I think, but it's a more mature record than the previous two albums. There's a slight... I don't want to say weariness, but a slight worldly wisdom, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's also a much more laid-back record. It seems to be accepting of the world the way it is, perhaps, and much more accepting of the beauty and joys of the world as well, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it is. There's a balance. I feel like it's very personally honest. I mean, to be honest, a lot of it was written before the current crisis. Or we had gotten to the point where we had a lot of it underway. It's very much not a topical. I wouldn't say it's topical, you know, but worldly is that's a good word. I'm going to take that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to refer back to a couple of songs from the Swan Song series. Okay. Christopher Street was really about memory and regret and an awareness of decisions affecting the future, really. And Meteor Shower was about natural wonder versus the vacuum of technology.
Yeah.
Just the idea of looking into each other's eyes instead of down at our devices.
Right.
The songs that you've written the lyrics for on this record, Dove, have there been particular themes that you've wanted to explore?
There was less cognition on my part.
Right.
In terms of what came out for this one, this was not a brainy experiment for me. It was very visceral, and every song just came, there was Tom sent me the music for Quicksand. I wrote that in 10 minutes.
Right.
It just all came out. I was walking on the beach in the middle of the winter, and it just came out whole cloth. So it's like a lot of this stuff really just came. And I'm not dodging, I feel like I'm dodging the question, but it was very hard for me. Sometimes it takes me years to figure out what I'm talking about, to be honest. So, there are times when I absolutely have a message that I'm trying to cram into something. But for the most part, the subject matter for this stuff, for every one of these songs, just sort of flowed.
Yeah. The feeling that I get from sort of combining all of the lyrical content is not in any way a smug way, but there is a feeling of content in there, or as we said earlier, having made peace with the past, let the past go.
Yep.
And actually an excitement about the future, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, and I think that the fact that these lyrics came at a time, and just to be clear too, Shiny One, Faceless, there are some songs that Gail, she wrote the chorus to Shiny One. So she has some lyrical, Shiny One, for instance, all the lyrics that I wrote for that one were informed by her chorus.
Yeah, yeah.
And I called her and I was like, am I getting this right? Is this what you mean? So it's, every song is very different, but you're right in that we're having this nice renaissance love affair with each other. Definitely impacts on where I'm going emotionally when I'm writing the words. So
I remember in one of those two previous chats we've had that you said when you look back at what happened in the 90s with Belly, you were a little rueful because your steerage was off. That's a direct quote.
Yeah.
Thinking of everything that goes into the relationships with each other.
Yeah.
Are there, there are obviously major differences between now and back then.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, the epilogue to that perspective of mine, feeling like I should have been a better leader, the epilogue now is that there is no leader now. And it's, so, we are 25, 25, 25, 25 on everything. On the management, the music, the artwork, the torment, and everything is completely, we have a very socialist model right now, and it's working just beautifully because we are in the lucky position of having very complementary skills, and strengths.
Yeah.
So where there's a weakness, somebody else steps in, and vice versa. It's just better. You just have this amazing cooperative now.
Yeah.
That doesn't require leadership, and it's great.
It's a pity our respective governments can't look at that model and, work from that.
Yeah. I don't know how the human ego is going to be corrected. I just don't. Especially in politics where it's just so cult of personality driven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And interestingly, when we spoke for the first time, we were talking about your work as a postpartum doula, which is a world many miles from band life, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
So how has it been fitting band stuff around that work?
It's actually pretty easy to do that because then I take, I've kind of put it all in suspension through the fall because we really do have to focus almost primarily on the band and then our families. So once those two, that takes up my whole day. I can take work as it comes, sort of, that's what's kind of great about the doula work is that it, you know, you take gigs as you're able. So they're very, very, it works really well together, those two jobs.
Because the work is always going to be there, isn't it?
Yeah, always. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there is the danger of falling off of everyone's radar.
Uh-huh.
But that's, I'm not too worried about it. I always, it's at this point, everything I get is word of mouth, which is really nice.
Mm.
So I just sort of field it from that point.
And the rewards of each, the music stuff and being a doula, they must both be incredibly fulfilling, but mm-hmm. satiate completely different parts of you.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing that was really attractive to me in the doula work is the fact that it wasn't about me at all. You know, after a certain point, it's just, I loved focusing entirely on this, you know, the new nest, the woman, the child, the family, you know.
Yeah.
And just being genuinely and truly helpful to someone is so good for the soul, you know.
Yeah.
It's just so good. It's so good for you, you know. And you know, it's funny too, because like one of my initial fears was, what will I have left over for my own children, my own family? But I'm so nourished by that work that I have extra. It's been really good.
Excellent. So obviously Dove is out very soon or round about now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a leading question or perhaps a ridiculous question, but I wondered where Dove might lead for the band.
I have no idea. We've always been terrible at predicting, and so we try not to do it anymore. We really haven't even had a conversation about what happens next. Not one. We're very present focused. And at this point, just supporting the album and loving it as we do is kind of our focus. So I don't have an answer. Sorry. It's very unsatisfying. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, Tanya Donnelly, good luck with Dove. And obviously, there are plenty of dates around that, a lot of UK dates as well. So for the third time, I'll say thank you very much for being a guest on the Mouthcast.
Thank you very much. And it was really nice to talk to you again. That was awesome.
Yeah.
www.themouthmagazine.com.